This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead in moments, new WHL Commissioner Dan Neer has been making the rounds. He popped by for a chat earlier this week, and he'll give us a breakdown of what he's seen so far on the job. Swift Current Broncos goaltender Reed Dick was named the WHL Goaltender of the Month for February. He's leading the surging Broncos. He'll be our guest. Cameron Schmidt is a young forward in Vancouver, having a great 16-year-old season with the Giants. He also scored a pretty big goal earlier in the year. He'll be our guest. And the Tempo WHL Player of the Week, Jordan Keller of the Kamloops Blazers. He'll wrap up our show. First up, Dan Neer has officially taken over the role as WHL Commissioner. He popped by our broadcast this week.
We did a handover at our Board of Governors meeting in February, and boy, how proud we all should be to be affiliated with this league, the Western Hockey League. There's so much history, there's so much heritage, but what a product we have on the ice, what infrastructure we have from a player experience standpoint, and boy, when you see the players graduating and going on to play in the National Hockey League, or graduating and going on to pursue a career, pursue a university education, we really have a lot going for us, and it's something that these communities across Canada and the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. really should be proud of. I'm making my way around the league. I'm eager to see all the facilities, meet all of your counterparts around the league, but meet the staff, the volunteers, and everyone who makes this league run. You know, there's a lot of heritage around the league, and you think of community teams, like Moose Jaw, like Lethbridge, like Swift Current. You think of some of the NHL teams, Calgary, Edmonton, both of which have been easy for me to get to because I've spent a lot of time in Calgary. But it's really all over the board. You've got a really diverse fan base. You've got diverse markets, big markets, small markets, Canadian, American. And, you know, I really think that there's a lot of upside and a lot of bright side for this league because we undoubtedly are the best development league in the world, and the stats show that.
You look at the markets that have won lately. Of course, it was Seattle last year, but you go back further, it's the Swift Current Broncos of the world. It's the Prince Albert Raiders WHL champion. So when you look at that competitive balance, you know, that's what the league, I think, wants to maintain as much as they can.
That's critical for us. You can look across the different sports and, you know, at the professional level, the salary caps, the luxury taxes, and different things where you see the same teams perpetually winning. And I think hockey as a sport has done a good job at creating parity. And, you know, the idea that an eighth place team going into the playoffs could beat a first place team, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
A visiting team can win, and it's not the home team wins every game. The parity that we have in this league and the idea that anybody can be there any year is fascinating. I think that the cycles of people building teams to win and have these successful runs and then the rebuild that subsequently follows, I'd tell you, I think the managers in our league are some of the most strategic and skilled managers in professional sport because of the uniqueness of that cycle and how you have to build a team and try to remain strong and keep your fan base enthusiastic year after year after year. And so I'm still learning, but I'm really enjoying observing that and taking it all in.
Talk about some of the strengths of the league, and you know, you mentioned the parity and the diverse markets. What are some of the things you've seen that you say, okay, we could take another step in the direction there, we could explore that further, dig a little bit deeper in that area? What have you seen?
You know, it's still early to offer any constructive criticism, but I think a really easy one and a relevant one to this market is maybe getting more credit for the work we're doing in developing great hockey prospects, right? And you've got Logan Stankoven, and you know, the time he's spending up in the NHL now and the credit. People are talking about AHL standout Logan Stankoven. It's like, wait a second, what do you mean AHL standout? He's been there for 10 minutes. Why aren't we talking about Kamloops Blazers standout, right?
Sure.
And Western Hockey League standout. And so I think that one of our weaknesses is our modesty and the idea that, you know, we're very, very proud, but we're also not one to, like, pat each other on the back and say how great we are. And I think we probably need to do a little bit more of that and ensure that, you know, you think about some of the stars that have emerged in the NHL, and of course you can't speak about the Western Hockey League without talking about Connor Bedard. How many people know that he played in this league last year? Probably not enough, at least stateside, right? And I want to earn more credit for that. I want us to be able to show to the hockey community, to sponsors, to everyone around the game, that this is the league where you want to go if you want to develop into an NHL player. And if you don't, there are plenty of great opportunities that we set you up for. And so I think that's not for lack of trying, but an area we can continue to develop, we can continue to progress, and really try and build scale around the things we do, because we do a ton of great things locally from market to market, whether it's a cancer awareness night or whether it's something with, an Indigenous community night. And you just don't hear about it beyond the local community a lot of times. And I'd love to see that expand and get bigger across the league.
I like that. That's well said. And maybe it's the Canadian way. We're not sure on that. But, speaking of, we've heard a lot in media circles. About a month ago, a story from Elliot Friedman came out about a potential CHL-NCAA agreement. It seemed to have a lot of smoke and a lot of traffic, and this is happening. But things have cooled somewhat on that. If anybody knows where that's at, that would be likely yourself or the Board of Governors. Can you update us at all, Dan, on that chatter and what that might mean here down the road?
You know, there's not a lot to share from an official standpoint. There aren't active discussions between the Canadian Hockey League or the Western Hockey League and the NCAA, but there is a lot of conversation speculating around how that landscape is changing right now. And of course, it started in football and basketball, but it's expanding in a lot of different ways. And then what are the implications as it relates to other sports and the designation that we currently have as professional status and therefore the players being ineligible? You know, you can speculate a lot of different directions on whether change could be good for us. And if so, what does that all mean? But I think it's really complex. Like, if you look at some of what's happening in college football right now or basketball, players are becoming unrestricted free agents every year. And if you're a coach or a manager trying to build a team and you've got somebody that doesn't get enough playing time and decides they want to leave the next year, they have a lot to sort out as it relates to the college game. And whether the eligibility rule changes or not, you know, there's so many complexities around what the development landscape looks like. What I can tell you is we're going to look out for the best interests of the players. We're going to look out for the best interests of the sport. And we want to ensure that nothing threatens our ability to be the best development league in the world, especially for kids coming from the West.
I'm impressed and appreciate you popping by here in our broadcast. I want to wish you the best of luck in your tenure. I don't know if you'll make 24 years like Ron Robinson did, but you're out to a good start. You got a couple months under your belt here so far, Dan.
Well, thanks. It's an honor to follow in Ron's footsteps. He left the game in a great place, and hope I can give you 24.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanout Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
What a month of February for Swift Current Broncos goaltender Reid Dick. Matt Barrett has more.
Joined now by Broncos netminder Reid Dick. And Reid, the goaltender of the month for February, what a month it was for you. Just how cool was it to be named the goalie of the month by the league?
Yeah, it was obviously really cool. I mean, first one of my career, so pretty cool accomplishment. But it kind of speaks to how well my team's played in front of me and how responsible we've been in the D zone. And it's kind of more of a team stat. But yeah, really cool thing.
You said your first one of your career. Have you ever had a stretch of a month like that in your career before?
I don't believe so, no. You know, just with injuries and stuff and kind of being more of a supporting role, I guess backup you could say as well. In my career, this is kind of my first time. But like I said, we're kind of a really good group here. And throughout the years, probably the best group we've had. So it made it pretty easy for me.
What are the guys doing in front of you that makes it, you know, so easy to stop pucks?
Yeah, I think we've been you know, being a lot more responsible in our D zone, blocking a lot more shots, trying to stay to the box as much as we can. And we've been playing a really good 5-on-5 game, and it's kind of led to a lot of success. And we're kind of just rolling with it right now. So it's nice to see that coming together down the stretch.
Well, you guys did have a nice little 7-game win streak going. It was snapped there on Saturday. But just how fun was it to be kind of going into every game feeling like you guys have a shot to win every night?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of how we felt all season, that we've had a shot to win every night. Kind of doesn't matter who we're playing, but you know, getting those wins together at the right time of year is huge. We're trying to get home ice here for the playoffs and maybe even clinch a division. So, you know, getting the wins at the right time and really good energy around the rink. And yeah, we snapped her, but we're hopefully going to start a new one here.
For you, you've kind of had a crazy season when it comes to injuries and the ups and downs of the season. What does that do for a guy, and mentally, how have you sort of been able to, I guess, get through it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a couple tough bounces, especially to start the season. Started late, so. But we've had a great staff here, athletic therapy and team doctors, massage therapists, and that really helped me get over it. And always trying to just keep a good mindset with that kind of thing. And wait when I'm back, make the most of it. And that's just all I'm trying to do right now. And now down the stretch, just trying to stay healthy and give the guys a shot to win every night.
Well, you also played your 100th career game. The 10th goalie in modern Bronco history to do that. Just how cool is it to kind of be in that list now?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't know I was the 10th until you told me, so it's pretty cool. I thought there would have been more, but it's always a cool accomplishment to get your name on the plaque in the room there. And my buddy Isaac Poulter got it before me, so he'll always have that over me. But it's a pretty cool accomplishment, and I'm happy I hit it.
Well, I think you're approaching Isaac for the in wins in your career. So obviously, you and him are battling for that. Just seeing that you've been able to match him, I guess, to the games and maybe approaching his wins. Just how cool is it to be kind of going toe to toe with your buddy in that kind of sense?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I don't want to diss anybody, but he went through a couple more dog years after they won the championship that year. And, he had to fight for his wins a little bit more than all of mine have. But, it's pretty cool. And hopefully I get that over him so I have something to chirp him about. But, he had a great career, and now he's doing big things, and I'm super happy for him. And, I'm just trying to follow his footsteps here.
Well, I know you guys billeted together. What are the Olfords putting in the food?
Yeah. I don't know. They're great cooks. I mean, it's an awesome place to live. It makes you feel like home, and makes hockey pretty easy when you have a good home life. So, all the kudos goes to them.
As you've kind of gone through this season, what the Boston Bruins being a prospect there, not quite signed yet, but have they been in contact, making sure that things are going well for you?
Yeah, I'd say I keep in touch with them pretty regularly, probably a couple times a month. I get a text or a phone call or whatever, and that's not always something I'm trying to focus on. I'm trying to win as a Bronco right now, so it's nice to hear when they're happy and stuff, but the most important thing right now is just winning games as a Bronco.
It obviously adds some motivation, though, a little bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I do want to play pro hockey after I'm done here, and that's kind of where I want to do it, and that's the next step, and that is my end goal, but just trying to see what matters now, and the playoffs is what's happening now, so just kind of focus on that.
As a guy that is now part of this group that's having a chance to clinch a division and fighting in the playoffs, how special is it to do it with a bunch of guys that you're even drafted with too?
Yeah, it's awesome. We have a great core here. I've had the same core since the bubble, I want to say. It's a lot of 04s, really good group of guys, a lot of character guys in there. Everyone gets along, and I feel like that's also kind of why we've had so much success, because we're such a close group, and you can call a guy out and no one takes it to heart. And once you get off the ice, they're best buddies again. So it's really special to be a part of. It's really cool, and it is awesome to have that same core, and just the team chemistry has just been great.
Lastly, I'll ask you, just being a vet on this team, and young goalies coming in, Bernie Weston's been around, Joey Rocha, and all the young guys coming in, just how have you maybe tried to be that sort of veteran presence and be that sort of maybe leader to some of those younger goalies?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to remind that it is a hard league, and especially when you're young and you're maybe not always getting consistent minutes, it's hard to be successful. I mean, really, I'm 19, and this is kind of my first year I've had consistent success. So, I mean, it has come for everybody, some sooner than others. Mine was a little bit later, but, just really working in practice. That's kind of – we get to practice every day in this league, which is a treat, and that's kind of when you can make the most of it. So just kind of working every day in practice, and it's going to come for everybody eventually, and just kind of sticking with it is my biggest advice, really.
Reed, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Back to you, John.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Well, if you don't know the name Cameron Schmidt, you soon will. He's just 16 years old, but he's having a great rookie season in the WHL. Cameron, you're kind of making it look easy. It's not supposed to be this easy for a 16-year-old. How have you been getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, just trying to work my way into the league, just doing the simple things, just working on the details and working on my game, yeah.
You found a way. I can't help but think that the U-17 World Challenge was a boost for you, confidence-wise. You go there, you win gold, you scored the game winner or the gold medal winning goal. That's got to go a long ways to come back to Vancouver with.
Yeah, I mean, going there was a huge honor to be a part of that, and just being on a winning team like that with a bunch of great guys, and just being able to experience that moment, and I mean, scoring that goal was unreal. So, yeah, bringing that back was just an amazing memory for me, and I'm happy about that.
How often do you think about scoring that goal? Like, you know, now that you carry it into your season, it's a big moment. It's a gold medal for Canada. It puts you on the radar for Hockey Canada future events here. How often do you think about it?
I mean, short term after the event, I thought about it quite a bit. But, I mean, as the season goes on, it's not really... I mean, I think about it the odd time, but I'm more focused on what I'm doing in Vancouver and how our team's going.
Take me through your line mates. They've saddled you with a couple of veterans to help the transition easier for a 16-year-old. So let's talk about who you're playing with right now in that top six.
Yeah, playing with Halliburton and Lipinski, obviously, they both have experience going to the next level and playing with those pro guys. So them coming back and me being able to play with these guys and just kind of pick their brain and see what they see on the ice is just, I think it's a big thing for my development, yeah.
A lot of Giants fans know the name Gilbert Brulé. I'm not sure you know that name very well, but you're closing in on one of his marks in this season already.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that. It was quite a while ago, but the goal record, it's a huge honor if I can achieve that, and those type of names to be put up there with, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, good for you. You're having a great season here. We mentioned it. What did you expect the year to be like? Did you think you could come in and be an impact guy at 16, or what was sort of your thought going into the season, Cameron?
Yeah, obviously I thought I had the ability to do that. I just kind of just getting into the league, just feeling it out, feeling my way through the systems and just how everything works here. And I think at this point in the season, I've done a pretty good job so far.
I know what your biggest attribute is, in my opinion, but I'll let you tell me what you think your best attribute is on the ice here with the Giants.
Yeah, definitely my speed. Just being able to have that extra step on guys just gets me in those positions to score those goals, and yeah.
The Giants as well, since 2024, since the calendar turned over here, you guys have been on a uptick up the standings here. What's it been like for this team? You did add a couple of veteran players at the deadline, a couple of 19-year-old forwards. That helps, but what's it been like for the rise? You've seen it before the deadline and now with some added help.
Yeah, obviously the start of the season wasn't the greatest start, but as the season went on, we picked up some guys at the deadline and they kind of fit into our systems well, and I think we've been molded together, and I think as the season goes on, we're just going to get better and better and hopefully take that over into playoffs.
You're sitting sixth right now in the Western Conference. Is there a goal, a spot you guys have your eyes on here with just under 10 games to go?
Yeah, I mean, with Victoria and Wenatchee being so close to us, I think that's a spot we can get to and definitely where we want to be going into playoffs.
Okay, Cameron, good to meet you. Great season going on here. Thanks for being our guest here on WHL This Week.
Thank you.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Kamloops Blazer forward Jordan Keller named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Originally born in Sapporo, Japan, he moved to Canada in grade 7. I chatted with the 18-year-old.
Jordan, congratulations, WHL Player of the Week. Where were you when you heard the news, and what was the reaction?
Yeah, I was here at the rink. I kind of found out from Timmy. He kind of told me the news, so that's how I kind of found out here.
Nice accolade to have. The team went 2-1. You put up 7 points in that stretch. You seemingly have a lot of confidence going with your line of Emmett Finney and Ashton Furster. Tell me about that group right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play with a couple of really good players, and it's been a lot of fun playing with Finns and Fursty. You know, they're really good smart players. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You came over before the trade deadline and the Fraser Minton deal with the Saskatoon Blades, but since the deadline and this team moved out 3 veteran forwards, you guys have found a way here to stay above 500 and stay in the mix. How have you guys got it done?
Yeah, I think our focus has been embracing the underdog role. I think that's been pretty important for us to outcompete the other teams. So that's been what we've been doing.
I want to ask you about that trade. Comes middle of the season. It can be a lot to process. For you, you're coming back to your hometown, so maybe not as much of a transition for you. But when you look back to where you were in late November to how you feel now, how's it been?
Yeah, I mean, since day one, the guys have been awesome. They were super welcoming, and they made it so much easier for me since day one. So, it's been a lot of fun.
How do you guys keep it going this weekend? You have Kelowna a couple of times, home and home season winding down. You're still in the playoff mix, trying to stay alive right now. So what do you expect this weekend?
Yeah, we just got to focus on what's right and We're just going to focus on out-competing the other teams and play the structure and play the right way.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests and a stick tap to Matt Barrett in Swift Current for his help this week. That's the show. Have a great weekend.